timely. Just finished singing a song. We need a word from the Lord. Well, turn to Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 12th verse, and you're going to get a word from the Lord. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, we're asking everyone to please turn to that as we will go to the Word of God. And again, please be receptive to God's Word, knowing that the Lord sends His Word to help all of us. Colossians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. God bless you. We thank God for the reading of that, those passages. And the Lord has given me to preach this morning from this subject, the Christian's new garments. Amen. The Christian's, that's us, born again believer, new garments. Most everybody like to dress up. Some people take pleasure in knowing they know how to put it together. They know how to fit the different colors together and the different outfits, and they come out and they know their shop. Can't tell them anything. They know they got it together. Yeah. Well, this is what I hope you got together as we hear the Word of God. Because God is going to tell us about His wardrobe. How God wants us to be dressed. Amen. And it's important for us to please God. Amen. And do those things that God has commanded us to do. Amen. And that 12th verse and the 13th verse, as we read those verses, we find out God is going to tell us what He and how He wants us to look. In our new life as Christians, we should put on some new characteristics and attitudes to each other. You shouldn't be the same way that you were when you were a sinner. Amen. Shouldn't be that same old mean, grouchy person that nobody can get along with, and the person who's always right and everybody else is wrong, because I know it. One who has a sharp tongue and can spew out some evil. Well, God is letting us know when He saves us, He changes us. Amen. We're not going to look the same and act the same. In this passage, we see where Paul is illustrating dress as putting on clothes. You know, like I said, you go and you get your wardrobe all together and you put, you know, this goes with that and that goes. You try to match everything. Uh-huh. Amen. And, you know, it's not only the ladies, the men too. Yeah, they like to put it together. But here, as we look at this passage, God wants us to be concerned about the spiritual man. We do pretty good taking care of the natural man. But God wants us to be concerned about the spiritual man. So as we look at verse 12, it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, and meekness. we can see in this 12th verse that God is telling us that he wants us to have some new garments. As we back up in the verses, we find out that those old dirty garments that we had, God doesn't want us to have that. As you look at verse 5, it says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry." Then if we go to verse 8, it says, "But now ye put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds." So we see that those two verses I read, the things that God laid out in those two verses, those are the characteristic of the old man. And in order to be a child of God, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." So if you're saved, you're not who you used to be. You're not going to act like you used to act. You're not going to do the things that you used to do that was contrary to God's word. God says that we got to put off some things. Got to get rid of those things. Amen. It's not being a part of our lives anymore. Because God has made us a new man. So since he told us to undress, now he's going to dress us the way he wants us to look. Say, "Thank you, Lord." So it says in this 12th verse, put on. So since he told us what to take off, now he says, put on as the elect of God. Let's remember, if you're saved, you are chosen by God before the foundation of the world. God, grace, unmerited favor, selected you and me before the foundation of the world. You know, that makes us special. And it shows us that we didn't have anything to do with our salvation, being a child of God. It was God. All right. Then he says, we are elect. Just hold on to that. We are elect. Then he says, holy. God tells us in his word to be holy as he is holy. Holy means to be set apart. When we are holy, we don't do the things that the world do. We don't love the things that the world loves. Even though we used to, but when God saved us, he made us new creatures, and we put off those things. The Bible teaches us that God cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And I'm glad that God does the work. Because most of us know that as sinners, there were some things we kind of enjoyed. But I thank God, God did the work. He cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Those things that God knew he would not be pleased with, he took it away from us. He cleansed us. Now, let me tell you, the devil tries to bring it back. But then God tells us to resist the devil. He'll flee from you. You don't have to be afraid of the devil anymore. Thank God. God is our Father, and God is our protection. God said he would strengthen us. God said he would help us. God said he would uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. So whatever the devil's trying to get you to do, we're going to say no to the devil because we are God's children. So we have been set apart. And then as we look at the rest of us, we are holy and beloved. God loved us when we were his enemies. God loved us when we were hypocrites. And God made a way by sending his only begotten son. The Bible says he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And see, the key is, remember I said he loves the hypocrite. He's made provision for the hypocrite so that he won't have to be a hypocrite anymore. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He's made a way for those who lie and can't help it. When God saves us and make a new creature out of us, we don't lie anymore because he gives us a commandment to speak the truth, every man, to his neighbor. You can't be a liar and be a child of God. You can't continue to tell lies to save your neck. Your neck is going to have to get some trouble on it, but you got to tell the truth. And if you tell the truth, God will help you. Can I get an amen in here? Amen. Do I have living witnesses in here? Amen. If you stand on truth, you have the assurance that God is going to help you. Seen the devil try to say, go on, you know, you can kind of, you know, tell it not the way it is, but the God said he would forgive you anytime something in your mind tells you to do what God says not to do and say that God will forgive you. It's the devil. It's the devil. God says, you know, we have to suffer the cost. Well, he promised us. He said in his word, as he suffered in the flesh, arm ourselves likewise. This is a suffering way.
Yes.
Amen. But in the suffering, when you're suffering for the glory and the of God, God turned what's bad into good for us.
Amen.
All things work together for good of those who love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. We're not going to dwell on the evil and the bad. We're going to look to God and remember that he's given us a promise that he's going to work it out for our good. Don't we serve a great God? God has made provisions for us to live in this evil world because he knows the heart and mind of man, but God is our helper. All right, so I thank God. So we got you. As we continue to look at that 12th verse, so let's not forget that we are chosen by God, we've been set apart by God, and God loves us. Now, this is what God wants us to put on. He's getting ready to dress us. Amen. You know, sometimes you go to the store and they got salespeople and they try to help you pull your, coordinate this and coordinate that. Here God is going to coordinate everything for you.
Amen.
All right. God says that we are to put on bowels of mercy. In other words, we are to have some sympathy.
Yeah.
We're not so, I'm going to say evil, that you see people suffering and you say they got what they deserve.
Uh-huh.
That's God's business.
Amen.
God will give all of us what we deserve. And he doesn't want us dabbling into his business.
Amen.
Amen. God wants us to have some sympathy over in Romans, if you would. Let's go to Romans, the 15th chapter. Romans, the 15th chapter. Verse 1. Put on some bowels of mercy. Show some sympathy, people. The 15th chapter of Romans, verse 1, it says, we, then that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. It's not about us. It's about our brothers and sisters. Amen. If you're strong, you ought to be able to help somebody. Amen. If you're strong, you ought to know that they're going through something and they don't need people to beat them up. They need somebody to pray with them. They need you to encourage them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So all the strong folks have been saved for 40 years.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And I know I'm on my way to heaven. You better show some sympathy.
Amen.
You better put on some sympathy, bowels of mercy. Because it's not about you. It's about pleasing and help doing the things that God has willed us to do.
Amen.
We are ambassadors for the Lord.
Amen.
And we got to live a life so that people can see living for God is a good life.
Yeah.
So you got to put on some bowels of mercy.
Amen.
Then the next thing God tells us, we have to put on some kindness. Oh, we need some kindness today in this world. People are so evil. You know, years ago they used to argue and get mad and sometimes they would fight. Now people are shooting folks. Evil days, saints. But God wants us to not get caught up in these things.
Amen.
God wants us to be kind. Amen. How we treat others. Show brotherly love. That's what God wants us to do. And we need to remember this. In Galatians 6 and 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You want goodness to come to you? Be good.
Amen.
You want folks to be kind to you? Show kindness. But if they don't show kindness, we're going to continue to show kindness. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
We don't change because of what they do.
Uh-huh.
We obey God's word.
Amen.
And God wants us to continue to show kindness to people who need it. And forget about our feelings. Too many of us wear our feelings on our shoulders. We got to remember what Jesus went through for us. They spat on him. They put a crown of thorns. They slapped him. Amen. And he did it because he loved us.
Yeah.
Oh, saints, we got to be kind, folks. Let's look at Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, put on now, we dress, and God is dressing us. So he's dressing us with kindness. He says in verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. How many folks put other people before them? Not too many. Most of the time we follow the ways of the world, me, myself, and I. Amen. I take care of me, and then if I got any leftover, maybe I'll help you. Amen. Let's remember this. God has blessed us with what we have.
Amen.
And we ought to be thankful that we are saved and know God as a provider.
Amen.
Because he said he would supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And he told us also that the poor we'll always have with us. And we're not going to look at folks and try to judge what they're going to do. They say they need some food. Give them money in the name of food and pray for them. Say, Lord, help them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And realize that when they come to you, some of these people, when they come to you, they do want food.
Yeah.
They do want to get just enough to go to McDonald's or somewhere just to get a sandwich.
Yeah.
All of them are not using it for drugs or alcohol. Liquor. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
And it's not for us to judge. It's for us to be thankful that God has put us in a position to help somebody.
Amen.
So God said, put on some kindness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And God tells us to be affectionate, another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And we got to remember this. Whenever you help anybody, we can consider it as lending to the Lord.
Amen.
Because God will return to us good for good.
Amen.
And it's a blessing that you were able to help somebody because you could have been standing on the corner.
Amen.
You could have been on a bench last night. Amen. You could have been walking around the street with a grocery cart.
Yeah.
That everything you own is in that cart.
Oh, yeah.
But God has looked on us.
Yes.
God has had mercy.
Yes.
God has chosen us.
Yes.
And we need to represent the Lord.
Yes.
The world needs to know that there are kind people in the world.
Yes.
They need to know that there are real Christians in the world.
Amen.
They need to see you and me as being an example of the Lord. Put on. God is dressing us. Put on kindness. Put on kindness. Let's go. The next thing that God tells us we need to do. Humble. Humble. A lot of people got trouble with that. A lot of folks don't know how to be humble. A lot of people like to boast and brag about what they got. And there's some folks that, as I said earlier, they know everything. You might know a whole lot more than everybody else, but sometimes you need to just hold your peace. And we need to know how to talk to people. You know, because God has blessed you and you got some good intelligence in your head, we don't talk down at folks. We don't make people feel that they're below us. No, that's not the Christian way. Jesus said, with love and kindness has he drawn us. And we need to be imitators of Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh, I thank God is dressing us. And I hope we are paying attention to what he's saying. So humbleness of mind. Let's go to Romans 12 and 3. Romans the 12th chapter, the third verse. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You can have a PhD degree, but you should be able to talk to somebody who didn't finish high school. Amen. You should know how to use the intelligence that God has given you and realize that you are blessed.
Yeah.
Amen. Because there are people who are smart, but they got sidetracked.
Oh, yeah.
But God kept you in the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
God kept you with a sound mind. And God gave you the will to try to do something.
Yes.
Amen. But here, when God has blessed us and we have our degrees and we have all these things, we got to remember, we are not to be high-minded.
Amen.
All it takes is one tornado.
That's right.
All it takes is one hurricane.
Yes.
All it takes is one earthquake.
Yes.
All it takes is a fire that the fireman can't control.
Yes.
And all this that you've been boasting and high-minded about, it will be nothing but ashes. And we need to stay humble.
Amen.
Amen. And people have trouble staying humble. Stop being high-minded.
Amen.
Let's look at James, the 4th chapter. You see what God says about these high-minded. James chapter 4. I want you to look with me at verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 6, he says, but he giveth more grace. God giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. If I were you, I'd sure want grace from God. Unmerited favor. But the Bible says he resists the proud. I'm not down in education. All I'm saying is use it wisely. Treat people with love and kindness. Remember that you are blessed, that you are able to get whatever you have. And you're not going to look down on folks and think you are better than they are. Oh, because God hates it. God resisteth the proud. But give grace unto the humble. Oh, when you're humble, God just showers you with favor. I want God's favor, don't you? Amen. I want God's favor, and you ought to want God's favor. Amen, I think. So remember that God resists the proud. And when the devil tries to get you boasting and bragging about what you got, remember, it only takes one disaster, and you have nothing. I look at the TV and in the storm area, some people say they lost everything. Some people just finished the house and just moved in a house, and everything's gone. Oh, we need to stay humble, saints. We need to be thankful to God. We need to be saying, God, I thank you for having mercy on us. And I hope that's what we've been praying this week since that storm passed. God, you had mercy on us again. Amen. Because we look at the news and see some of these houses. One area said they're going to have to tear down almost 40 houses. Some houses falling just into the ocean. It's just, but God is good. Amen. But I tell you, you got to stay humble. God will bless you if you stay humble. Well, the devil don't want you humble. No, he wants you to, you know, let him know who you are. You know, let him know I went to this big name college, this university, and I have 2 or 3 degrees. That doesn't mean anything to God. You got all these degrees and don't have common sense. How sad that is. You don't have common sense. You don't. You're too proud to say good morning to your neighbor. Amen. You say, well, he didn't speak to me. You didn't speak to him. Well, suppose you speak to him and he doesn't speak. It doesn't matter. Amen. We're going to go on and know that they need prayer. Amen. I shared with you before, but the Lord just brought it to my mind again when I moved in our neighborhood. My next door neighbor, no, neighbor across the street told me, now that house over there, that man, don't have anything to do with him because he's just a man. He's just a mean man. Well, saints, let me tell you, if anybody tell you that, don't go on that word.
Amen.
The problem is between the neighbor and the man, not me. And we got to keep that in mind because, you know, they say, well, who it came from. Well, you have to make a relationship with the person for yourself. So I didn't pay attention to that. I didn't bother that.
Amen.
And my neighbor, he was tough. I'd be working in the yard, and he'd come wherever, driving his vehicle, and I'd wave at him. Y'all know if folks see you and don't see you? Kept his eyes straight. All right, another time I'm out there working, and he came through. I waved at him. See, then the devil could have said, stop waving at him. They told you he was a mean old man. You can't listen to the devil. You got to do what's right. So, long story short, one day he came through and I waved at him. He had his hand on the steering wheel. But can everybody see me? He had his hand on the steering wheel. I waved. He had his hand on the steering wheel. This is what he did. I said, glory, hallelujah, thank you. God broke him down. Amen. And then one day I was out in the yard and he was across the street and I was cutting grass. Some. He said, yeah, you need to do like I do, plant this, you won't have to cut the grass. He spoke to me. If you do what God says, God will work it out for you. Can I get an amen? We got to do right. We can't make other folks do right. But we do what God says, and God will fight our battles. So how are we doing? So far, God has put some bowels of mercy on us. He's put some kindness on us. Put some humbleness of mind on us. Now, God wants us to be meek. Oh, and some people have trouble with meekness. And the devil and his children will tell you that you're just weak. You're just a doormat. That's the devil. He's trying. See, remember now, we got to remember, the devil's a liar. The devil is a deceiver of the brother. Now, he's a deceiver, and he's an accuser of the brother. He doesn't want us to do what God says. But let me tell you, meekness is not weakness. It's not weakness. It takes God to help you to continue to do things when folks don't do right. But it takes God in you to have, I like to consider meekness as self-control. I do it, whether they respond or not. I'm going to do it because God said do it. And I tell you, there's always a blessing of obeying God's word. You know, just like the God touched my neighbor. Amen. I had no problem with him, but I could have if I had listened to the other neighbors. But God had a way. I had to let my light shine. I had to let him see that I had nothing against him. Amen. That I could be friendly with him. Can I get an amen? God is dressing the saints. Let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 6. Talk about meekness. See what the word of God has to say. Luke chapter 6, and I'm reading it. Verse 29. And this is, well, let me back up. I think it's good to get all this. And this is what Jesus said. 27, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Now verse 29, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. There's a good example of meekness. Oh, yeah. Well, meekness in what way? That you're going to take the wrong. Take the wrong, not to defend yourself. Vengeance is God's. Vengeance, he said he would repay. And if you have to give him the coat and the cloak, God gave it to you. And he said in his word he would supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But God wants us to know that we're going to have to take some wrong. But make sure you're taking wrong for doing right. Don't let the wrong that comes to you is because you've done wrong. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. So do what God says. And it takes the Holy Ghost to not defend yourself. It takes the Holy Ghost not to put somebody in their place. Amen. And we don't have any place to put them. They belong to God. And God is the one who put us where he wants us to be. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. So meekness. It's all right to be meek. And folks will laugh at you sometime and say that, you know, you just let people run over you. But they don't understand. We were praying to God. I said, Lord, help us. Help us to do what you said. And help us not to be embarrassed by the things that people do. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
See, if the devil can get you embarrassed, you know, unless you pray it up, you might act ugly.
Amen.
But oh, and when they do ugly, you say, Lord, help me. Lord, this is your battle. And sometimes you have to just keep your mouth closed. Amen. Don't try to defend yourself. Because let me tell you what the devil's child will do. He'll take what you said was truth and turn it into a lie.
Amen.
And make you the culprit, and make you the one who attacked him.
Right.
Amen. If we let God take care of us, he knows what to do, when to do, and how to do it.
Amen.
But we got to stay meek. Remember now, we new creatures. The old man is dead. So that old man was with probably hit him in the mouth. Oh man, but see, you don't fight your battles that way today. We fight our battles by living right. By doing what God says. Amen. By letting our light shine so they might see our good works. And I tell you what, if you need to be defended, sometimes God will use another sinner against a sinner. He said, why are you bothering that man? He doesn't bother anybody. You want to bother somebody, bother me. Amen. God will protect you.
Amen.
But we got to trust God. So that's the problem. We let our faith waver. Faith is your victory. You got to know if God said it, God's going to do it. And if we have to go through trials and tribulations, we need to know God has already made a way. He's already has a path. He already has a time so that he will bring us out of our trouble so that we may be able to live another day and fight another battle. Thank God for the mighty God that we serve. Let's look at the next garment that God is putting on us. Long suffering. Oh, God, thank you. Long-suffering, it defines itself. That you have to endure troubles and trials and tribulations for a long time. Do I have a witness in here? Amen. A long time. And it comes from various places. It comes from the job. It comes from your neighborhood sometimes. It comes from your family. Amen. But we got to let God, the light of Jesus, shine out in our lives. And we got to endure some things. Long suffering. Doesn't feel good. But oh, I thank you. But if we pray and say, I will lift up my eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help.
Yes.
My help cometh from the Lord. And you can remember that God, we like to say, won't put no more on us than we're able to bear.
Uh-huh.
Hold on to that.
Because yes.
God will sustain you. He said, to fear not. He said, I will strengthen you. Be not dismayed. I am not God.
Amen.
Yeah, I will help you. Yeah, I will uphold you. At the right hand of my righteousness. When you have Christ, you can endure some things, saints. And you can go through it longer than you thought you ever would. What we got to remember is it was God who was sustaining us. And if we didn't have God, we wouldn't take it. Now, y'all know that's true. The old self would say, I ain't taking that no more. The next time they come here, it's gonna be on. But thank God, that's not our attitude. We leave it in God's hands. We pray for them. Amen. Because folks who are going contrary to God's word, they need prayer. That means they're under the authority of the devil. Oh, but God, he won't let us down, saints. And we got to remember that. God never fails. And we need to keep that in our mind. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the fourth verse, it says, charity, which is love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Not trying to outdo anybody because they got a new car and you still got your old 10-year-old car. If it's running and giving you good service, thank God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Envy is not. If they can outdress you, that's all right. Thank God you got clothes to wear.
Amen.
Amen. Charity vaunteth not itself. So we're not boasting and bragging.
Amen.
I'm not better than you. I got this and you trying to get it. Nope. Vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Oh, I'm so glad that God changed us, because these things that God is telling us, we want that plus some more. All right, let's go back to Colossians. God just about finished dressing us. Colossians chapter 3 again. As this time I'm looking at verse 13. Verse 13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forbearing. Mean to. Putting up with him. Endure it. Amen. Amen. These are things that we face as Christians. Amen. Folks who are not Christians, they don't have to, you can't make them live right. You can tell them what the Bible said, but it has no effect. All right, so God says you got to put up with one another here.
Yes.
And then you got to forgive.
Yeah.
And it's not, I forgive them when they come and ask me for forgiveness. Suppose you die waiting on them to come to forgive you. God says that we got to forgive somebody, because if we don't forgive them, he's not going to forgive us. And then we sure don't want to have to answer for being disobedient to God's word. So you got to put up with them. You got to forgive them when they've done wrong. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We're not going to pattern after the world. We're going to do it God's way. They're angry with you. You try to bring peace, but if they're not willing, because some folks, the devil children, say, I'll never forgive you. If you ask for forgiveness and they wouldn't forgive you, then you can't make them forgive you. But you've done what God told us to do. And then let me tell you what you need to be doing. When they say, I'll never forgive you, you need to say, Lord, save them. Lord, open their understanding. Help them to know that they got to forgive if they want to be forgiven by you. See, the prayer wheel starts turning. Don't go home and get mad. Because the devil say, you went there and tried to get them, bring peace, and they attack you again. Well, that's what his children do. That's what the devil's children do. They are our enemies. So God wants us to know we got to endure, forgive. 1 Peter 2:19, keep a mark on Colossians, because I'm coming back. 1 Peter, the second chapter. Y'all bear with me, but I got to let the word speak. 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm reading verse 19. It says, for this is thanksworthy. This is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. God is pleased when we suffer wrongfully. When we endure the grief that they put on us and we don't try to take care of it our own selves.
Yes.
I know what to do. I know something. I know something to put them in their place. You just wait. No, God doesn't want you to know something to put them in their place. God wants you to show kindness to them and pray for them. And let God fight the battle for you. For verse 20 says, for what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and you suffer for it, take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Don't we want to please God? So God said we got to take it. We haven't done any wrong, but he accused us and we got to take it. Because we want to please God in everything we do, everything we say. Amen. And remember this, God is going to give you this help and the strength that you need. Oh, he's a great father. As I close, let's go back to Colossians, the third chapter, and I want to read the 14th verse. The 14th verse says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Put on love. Put on love. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm reading verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. God wants us to put on love. And the Bible teaches us that love hides a multitude of faults. Amen. When you love, you're not trying to find things to criticize people or to get even with. Love. Jesus suffered and died for us because he loved us. So love is the bond, the perfect bond that brings about unity. Because the Bible said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So I thank God that our wardrobe is set. Everything is matched, coordinated from head to toe, inside and outside. Because God has given us a new garment. And let's wear the garments that God gave us because he knows what we need. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's love one another. And when we love one another, we'll do what's right. And God will be pleased with us. The Christians' new garments. Will everyone please stand?